Hey, what's going on, everybody? Happy Wednesday. Welcome to another edition of Mean Streets, powered by FTN, right here on Game Plus Network, live on our FTN Network YouTube page. Chris Meaney here with you. Appreciate you guys hanging out. I know we've been doing a lot of underdog best ball drafts lately. We'll revisit that some more. I think actually the next couple episodes we'll start to do more drafts, actually, because it is draft week, as we mentioned yesterday. So tomorrow we'll return for a draft. If those want to take part in an underdog best ball draft, I'll tweet it out, but we'll go live here on our FTN Network YouTube page at 12 o'clock. And if you're watching on Game Plus all the time, you can hop on over and maybe take part in that draft if you would like to. And then we will do it again on Friday and potentially Tuesday. But I think that's it. Like, next week, the NFL is here. We are just over, like, almost a week away from week one of the NFL season, Rams and Bills. So next week we'll be looking at NFL lines, you know, starting sick questions right away. But hopefully you don't have any tough decisions in week one of the NFL season. You drafted studs, you start your studs, no matter the opposition, you start your studs. I am a full believer in that. Today on the show, we have Jermaine Avery of SportsMap. He covers all things Houston, Texans, Astros, Rockets. I don't think we're going to talk Rockets on the show, although maybe Jermaine has something to say about the Houston Rockets, but we want to talk about the Houston Texans, the biggest name in fantasy football over the past couple weeks, the biggest riser in fantasy football drafts over the past couple weeks is Damian Pierce. And yesterday was cut day in the NFL. We saw Marlon Mack get chopped from the roster. So I guess that's all wheels up. What do they say? Wheels up, all... I forget what I'm thinking of. Doesn't matter. Damian Pierce, we're ready for you. I think the fantasy community is as well. This guy has gone from an around 11 pick 5 weeks ago, round 11. I took him round 10 3 weeks ago in our FTN mock draft. I saw him go in a high stakes league in round four as the 19th running back off the board. He is completely rising up draft boards. Rex Burkhead, I think, should be actually on your radar as like a late round pick, best ball, your last pick. You don't get Pierce. Don't be fooled. Burkhead will be involved in this offense as the veteran back, but I'm still team Damian Pierce. I'm still a big fan. I have him ranked as a top 25 running back. I think he has RB2 upside. I think he's had RB2 upside the entire summer right away from the draft. Like, he landed in a really good landing spot. Fantastic. Not a lot of competition there. I know that the team is not fantastic. They're going to go through some things. They're not going to be really good offensively. I think their win total is like 4.5. They're not going to win a lot of football games this year, but he is going to get a lot of touches. And I know people say, well, it's a bad offense. The offensive line is not great. You know, Texans are not going to score a lot of points. Well, let me remind you that James Robinson finished as RB7 2 years ago on the worst team in football. The Jacksonville Jaguars won one game 2 years ago, one game. Only the Jets scored fewer points than them in the AFC, and James Robinson still finished as a top 10 running back. We're not drafting Damian Pierce as a top 10. I understand that all the value is gone. It's out the window. You drafted him in the 11th and the 10th, and maybe you're stubborn and you don't want to take him in the 6th, 7th round. You don't want to. No chance. I'm not doing it, because last week you could have got him in the 10th. I don't think you need to think like that. I do believe that he has had top 24, you know, low-end RB2 upside. The entire summer, he was just mispriced, whether that's the fantasy football community, whether that's drafters. I understand. Why would you draft a guy in the 8th and the 7th when you can get him in the 10th or the 11th? I get that. Pierce is a guy we've talked a lot about on this show all summer long. We're not taking any victory laps. He hasn't played a snap really in the NFL yet. Preseason doesn't really count, but he is in a really good position to be the lead right off the hop, and I think that's pretty valuable. We'll talk to Jermaine about the Texans, about Damian Pierce. He's hearing it. He's in the area. You know, we're drinking the Kool-Aid too much here. Should people be involved? He's a fantasy football player, Jermaine. He's an NFL better. So we'll talk about the Texans. You know, again, this is not a really good football team, but there's some pieces that are really intriguing, in my opinion, on this squad. Brandon Cooks has been a top 20 wide receiver in each of the last two seasons in fantasy football. Nobody seems to want him. And also Nico Collins, second year, potential breakout. Brevin Jordan, second year, potential breakout. Davis Mills, as we mentioned yesterday on the stream in the underdog best ball draft, these are two guys that you can get pretty cheap towards the end. It's a stack that you can make work. Cooks, you can have Cooks. You can get Brevin Jordan in the 18th, 17th round. You can do the same with Davis Mills. It can be your last two picks. You got to your third stack. And maybe Nico Collins is on that roster or Brandon Cooks. Speaking of Brandon Cooks, Tyler, let's throw this up just quickly and we'll bring it up with Jermaine. Part of our free tools over at FTNDaily.com, FTNFantasy.com. These are air yard leaders from last season. Brandon Cooks, number five on the list, 39% of his team's air yards last season. He was also inside the top 10 in target share, target percentage. This is why I think Brandon Cooks is undervalued. If there's a name that I think can appear on this list that's not here, I think that it would be Amari Cooper. I think we can treat Amari Cooper the same way we treat Brandon Cooks. You know, not a great offense. It is a run first team in Cleveland. Quarterback, questionable, right? To say the least, questionable. But a guy that's going to get a lot of opportunity and a lot of volume. Brandon Cooks, again, I think that will continue and that will carry over. Jermaine is hanging by. A couple things I want to say here off the top. The FTN package, Fantasy Football Platinum package, is live, of course, if you're drafting tonight. If you're drafting this weekend, you're waiting it out until next week for your draft. We have you covered over at FTNFantasy.com. 40-plus tools, 12 months of fantasy football, rookie scouting guide included, 300-player profiles, courtesy of Jeff Ratcliffe. You see content and rankings from Ratcliffe. Nelson Souza, Vlad Sedler, two high-stakes studs. Myself, I'm okay, I guess, but you know, I probably really shouldn't be in that paragraph with those guys, but my rankings are on the site over at FTNFantasy.com. We have lots of content over there as well. Exclusive access to our premium stats and our Discord channel. Start and sit tools. You know, it's content galore over there at FTNFantasy.com. Best ball rankings, best ball stacks, team previews, coaching schemes, sleepers, breakouts, busts. It's all there, and we're going to be with you throughout the entire season. Also, if you're a DFS player, check this out. Of course, you can use a promo code MEANIE, save yourself 20%. But if you're a DFS player, Tyler, there's a lot here, but just give you a bit of a sneak peek of the DFS schedule happening this year. And next week, right? It is here. You see Monday Night Football game breakdown, showdown strategy. Of course, David Jones has had multiple takedowns in showdowns, and we have a Monday Night live stream. We're going to have injury reports. We're going to have just look at the articles. One of my favorite things on our website is Jeff Ratcliffe's like wide receiver cornerback article, the showdown matchup. You see the matchup tools there on Friday, the showdown index. You know, we got data that's for wide receivers, you know, which routes they run, percentage of, you know, left side, right side in the slot, which corners are going to, you know, shatter them. And, you know, that's advanced, right? That's helping you set your lineups for the week, even if you're not a DFS player, but certainly a really cool tool in DFS land. We're going to have shows on Sunday leading up to Sunday football, Sunday night streams. Of course, we'll be with you on Thursdays. We got a ton of content. And right now, this is a pretty good promo code, 25% off with code Millie, because we do have Two Gun, who is one, not one, not two, but three millionaire makers over at DraftKings. And he's going to be with the crew on Sunday sharing a little bit of his info as well. It's a really fun Discord chat on Saturday nights as we talk about Sunday and talk about from a DFS standpoint. And if you're just new to DFS, I understand it can be discouraging and going into contests with thousands and thousands of people, but you can do smaller contests, head-to-heads, 50-50, double-ups. Those are my kind of contests. I don't like to compete, honestly, with 100,000 people. I like to compete with five or one head-to-head against somebody. So, you know, things that we'll talk about a lot on Set Bet Spike, Eric Young and myself, we want to have like a listener's DFS week every, you know, Friday on Friday's episode. So look for that, of course, on Game Plus and FTN Network, our YouTube page, happening on Friday. We will take a quick break, and then we have Jermaine in the house. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. You're watching Mean Streets live on Game Plus Network and our FTN Network YouTube page as we're bringing the Jermaine on the Twitter machine, Jermaine Every, who covers all things Houston over at Sports Map. Dude, I appreciate you. Thanks for taking the time here today. How's things going?
Problem. It's just another day, another grind, you know, one thing at a time, just trying to tackle everything that, you know, life throws at you. And it's football season. It's the most wonderful time of the year.
It is the most wonderful time of the year. Of course, I think that this is one of the most exciting times for a sports fan. Of course, you have the NFL season happening next week. College football last week kicked us off. Now we're into September starting tomorrow. NHL camps, NBA camps opening up very, very mm-hmm. soon. College basketball will be here before you know it. I know the PGA season has, you know, wind down, but there's a lot happening in the sports world, and we appreciate your time because you cover all things Houston. Are you a Houston Were you born in Houston? Are you to follow this team, or you just kind of picked up this job? Okay, tell us about the Jermaine journey here.
I'm actually born and raised in New Orleans, so I'm a Saints fan first and foremost. But moving here and gotten into sports media since, you know, on and off since 2009, 2010. Just been writing, doing videos, editing, and different stuff like that. And lately, primarily, I've been concentrating more on the writing end of things.
Nice. So we can catch all your work over at Sports Map. That's what is this? Yeah, Houston.sportsmap.com. And then you can find all your articles. You recently had something about Justin Verlander. Maybe in the next block, we can touch on that. The article headline, it's hard to ignore from the familiar vibes Astros Justin Verlander is giving off right now. We'll touch on him in just a little bit. But, dude, I got to ask you about the Texans. And I have to ask you right off the hop about Damian Pierce. Actually, you know what? Yes. Let's save him. This is a board. This is great, Tyler. This is over at NFFC. I know you're a big fantasy football player and a betting player as well. This is just a little bit of a feel of where these players are going over the last 2 weeks in high stakes leagues. So people have been putting their money on the line. Pierce has been like a 10th and 11th round pick basically all summer long. And then his first preseason taste, you know, he jumped up boards and then he didn't play in the second preseason game. I think that was very telling. And then he looked good in the third where he started the drive. And I believe he marched down the field pretty much and he had a touchdown. And then yesterday, Marlon Mack got cut. So, you know, the steam is continuing, right? It's a rocket ship emoji up with Damian Pierce. You got Rex Burkhead in there, who's really just kind of an afterthought, hasn't been drafting. But I do believe now with Marlon Mack gone, he is certainly going to have a role. Cooks, Nico Collins, Brevin Jordan. Before we get into some of these weapons, like, what are the expectations for this Houston Texans team this year? I know that they're not high, Jermaine. And I know that they're rebuilding and they have a lot of picks, you know, over the next couple of years. They've traded off a lot of, you know, players that were on that squad. You know, Sean Watson's not there anymore. Will Fuller's not there anymore. David Johnson, like they really went for it over the past couple of years, but now they're rebuilding. What's the feeling in Houston? Is there some excitement with this squad or, you know, share a little bit of what's happening in the Houston area when it comes to Texas?
The hardcore fans are beyond ecstatic about this team and what they think they can do. Now, some of the more realistic and or like media members types like myself who are totally objective and remove ourselves from the fandom, we see this team as possibly, you know, I would say the early play would be the over 4.5 wins for the Texans because I could see them winning 5, possibly 6 games. But definitely would not take a flyer, or I could even take a flyer on them as that graphic comes up, you know, +4,500 in AFC to win the AFC South. It could be worth a flyer, but I wouldn't put more than maybe a quarter or a half a unit on it. I wouldn't spend too much money on it because there's not too high of an expectation. It's something where it's a good enough number to where, okay, if I put a little something on it and it should just happen to hit, okay, then let's go ahead and place something on it. But I definitely wouldn't put much into them winning the AFC or the Super Bowl for sure. But I would definitely look into that over 4.5 win total for sure.
Yeah, you know what? I like it as well. And it's funny. I tweeted out 3 weeks ago. It was actually 75-1 for them to win that division. And I thought that that was just – I thought it was ludicrous. Like a crazy high number for a division that's not super strong. The Titans have taken a step back. The Colts, maybe they have their quarterback in Matt Ryan over Carson Wentz. I think they're the team to beat, but yeah, I wouldn't be shocked if the Jags and the Texans, you know, were kind of hanging around halfway through the season with like 4 or 5 wins or something like that. I agree. It's now 45-1, but still, like you said, half a unit, 0.25 units on it. We've seen crazier things in the NFL. What happens if Jonathan Taylor goes down? What happens if Derrick Henry goes down again? Right, and then we're looking at a division that is wide open. Again, we've seen crazier things happen in the NFL than this. So I think if you are looking for a long shot, it's certainly worthy. Let's talk about some of their weapons. Let's talk Pierce. Mm-hmm. What was the feeling when he was drafted? And what can you tell me about what has happened over the past couple of weeks? I mean, this guy is completely jumping up.
I think the feeling when he was drafted, a lot of people thought that, okay, we drafted a running back. He looks okay. And it was like, well, he's just another guy to add to the mix. Over time, fans have seen like, okay, this kid really has something. The most telling thing about the way Damian Pierce Pierce's perception has changed in Houston was when you saw the outrage of an unofficial depth chart had him listed at third on the unofficial depth chart behind Marlon Mack and Rex Burkhead. People were up in arms because they were like, no, this needs to be our starting running back. Why is he only third on the depth chart? And I'm like, hey, calm down. Don't look at that unofficial depth chart. You know, listen at what the coaches are saying about him and listen to what people are going to the practices are saying about him and how he's playing. You know, and when he didn't play in the second preseason game, then people really were up in arms. And I'm like, look, that's commonplace. Look around the league of all the guys who are not playing in preseason games. They're all stars and or starters for good quality football teams. So don't be upset when this guy doesn't play. Well, then he plays in the third preseason game and they're like, well, wait a minute, what's going on? Why is he playing now? He could get hurt if he's our starting running back. I'm like, calm down. They're just getting him a little work, you know, relax. Well, then yesterday when they cut Marlon Mack and decided to keep Rex Burkhead, next thing you know, RB1 on the depth chart is who? Damian Pierce. So I've been telling people, like, be patient. Like, you have to relax. You can't get too far up in arms about some of these things because it isn't always what it seems. And you can't take things at face value all the time, especially when the teams are going through a 3-game preseason and trying to cut down to their 53-man roster.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think you had good advice there. We try to tell people on this show as well, Jermaine, the depth charts are unofficial, and typically the rookies, they just don't go up at the top. Who was it? The Atlanta Falcons? The Atlanta Falcons depth chart, I think they had Tyler Allgeier as like running back 8 or 9. They put a guy ahead of him who was a defensive back converted to running back ahead of him on the depth chart. So these things you just take with a grain of salt over time, things that we've been saying on this show, it will be Damian Pierce's backfield. And you believe that? I mean, Marlon Mack is gone. What do you think Lovie Smith, like, what do the touches look like for Damian Pierce? Is this a guy who could touch the ball 20 times a game, or is Rex Burkhead going to come in? And is this going to be like a 60-40 split or 50-50 to start? Maybe Pierce's, you know, over time is like, oh, I mean, he takes 70% of the snaps.
I could see initially it being more of a 60-40 split with the bulk going to Pierce and Burkhead getting more touches of, like, for example, in passing situations. Because not only in passing downs and passing situations do you need your running back to catch the ball in the backfield, but you also need him to be a good pass protector if he's called into block as well. So having a running back like Burkhead, who's traditionally used in that kind of role over the course of his career, is good to have. Plus, that'll be a good guy to have in the running back room with Pierce to kind of help him roll through some of those growing pains. Now, over time, I think it'll be more 70-30, maybe even 80-20 as Pierce gets more acclimated to the pass game, pass protection, and showing what he can do running the ball.
I think Rex Burkhead's a pretty good flyer at like your last pick in drafts, whether it's underdog, best ball. I did 2 drafts yesterday, and I just took him in the 18th round as my last pick. Why not, right? You mentioned he could stay on the field and, you know, a third down situation, catch some passes there. He's certainly familiar with the offense. And, you know, he had a couple games last year where he got a lot of touches. I'm in on Pierce. What's too high? Like, if you're drafting this weekend, you're a fantasy guy. You're drafting this weekend, and Damian Pierce is sitting there, I don't know, in round 6. Is that too high for you? Because that's where he's going now. Like he's going as roughly running back 20. He's in the range of Clyde Edwards-Helaire, Miles Sanders, Antonio Gibson, Josh Jacobs, Elijah Mitchell. Do you think he belongs in that tier? Like if we're projecting a season for him, can he be a 1,000-yard running back?
I think so. The main reason why I think so is because his running style, straight up and down, north and south, he tends to find a hole and hit the hole and run hard through the hole. I know it's kind of early in a career to be predicting this, but his running style coupled with their blocking style, it reminds me a little bit of Arian Foster. Foster came in and was an undrafted rookie free agent out of Tennessee, came to the Texans, and because he was such a good fit in that zone scheme that they were running at the time, he just fit the bill and filled that role handsomely and turned it into a nice contract extension. Arguably, if not the best running back in Texans history. I'm not trying to put that on Damian Pierce now, but just as far as him seeing the hole and hitting the hole, I like that comparison to Arian Foster. So I could definitely see him being a 1,000-yard back. With it being a 17-game season, an extra game gives you, you know, a little bit of extra time to get to that 1,000 yards. But just because he's, you know, 5'10", 220, is more of a bell cow traditional type of back that we used to see back in, you know, late 80s, early 90s. He's built like that. With him having a good veteran running back behind him, I think that over time he'll grow. And I think that he'll eventually develop, maybe not this year, but next year, into a guy that you may see getting drafted in the third or fourth round instead of the sixth or seventh round.
Yeah. Aaron Foster, I guess the last Texans back to have 1,000 yards. I think it might have been 2014 or something like that. So it's been a minute, right? It certainly has been a while for the Texans. Dude, hang on if you don't mind. I'm going to break. I want to talk more about the Texans with you. I want to get into maybe Brevin Jordan or Nico Collins, two guys that I think potentially could break out and could be sneaky in fantasy football. And then since you're also kind of a Saints guy, I may have to ask you something about New Orleans. And of course, I won't get you out of here without mentioning something about the Houston Astros. Guys, hang on tight. Jermaine and myself will be back here on Game Plus Network. We'll be back in a minute. Watching Meat Streets here on Game Plus Network, live on our FTN Network YouTube page, Chris Meaney and the underscore Jermaine on the Twitter machine. You can catch all of his work over at Sports Map, all things Houston. He has you covered. And you know, I'm interested in this Texans team, right? I know we talked in the last block about how they, you know, the expectations are not super high. The win total is certainly not high. They're long shots to win the division, but they have some interesting players from a fantasy football standpoint. I think you could take this across a lot of sports. You know, sometimes the quote unquote bad teams, there's value there. And in the name of fantasy football, the part of the game is opportunity. And it certainly is king. I want to show you a board that we have from FTN Daily showing air yard leaders and Brandon Cooks up at the top here. Brandon Cooks is a wide receiver that I feel people pass on in drafts, Jermaine, because he's got Houston next to his name. I don't know, maybe in real life as well. He's been traded multiple times. It seems like nobody wants a piece of this guy, right? He was with the Saints. You're familiar with that. He's with the Pats for a minute. He's with the Rams, and now he's with the Texans. Tyler, if you have this air yard board, you know, let's show Jermaine what it's all about. We had Brandon Cooks, number five here, 39.25% of his team's air yards last season. He was also inside the top 10 in target share. I think that these are numbers that he can back up again this season. I feel like Cooks is one of the most underrated wide receivers. What do you see when you see Brandon Cooks on the field? I mean, he seems like Mills is a guy that just goes his way often.
Definitely see him as an underrated wide receiver when it comes to fantasy football. One of the things also, just speaking to this group of guys that you guys put up as the Texans offensive weapons that are the primary fantasy football guys that are getting drafted off this team, is whenever you have a bad team like this, you want to run the ball, play ball control, and kind of put it in the hands of your defense, because that's where the strength of this team is. So that would lend itself to Dameon Pierce being a 1,000-yard back, perhaps, you know, 8, 9, 10 touchdowns this season. Also, you have to think about it, if this team starts to fall behind, which it tends to do, they're going to be throwing the ball a lot to try to catch up, which will feed into, you know, Brevin Jordan and guys like Brandon Cooks putting up numbers, as well as Davis Mills. I mean, when you think about the Deshaun Watson's last season here in 2020, they were 4-12, but he threw for almost 5,000 yards and led the league in passing yards simply because the team was just a bad team and they constantly fell behind. So they're going to put up numbers. They're going to put up stats. Will some of those stats be empty? Probably so, because they'll be coming in garbage time of games. However, garbage time, regular time, winning time, losing time, it doesn't matter with fantasy football. It's just as long as the numbers are there.
Yeah, absolutely. It all counts the same, right? People say that all the time. I see it on Twitter. Oh, garbage time. Jalen Hurts, garbage time. Last year I heard it so much. Jalen Hurts, garbage time. It all counts, guys. There's a certain amount of time in a football game, and it all counts the same. Just like in the NBA in the fourth quarter when somebody goes off. Klay Thompson hits 7 threes in the fourth. It all counts. It all counts the same. Davis Mills, you mentioned him. You could make a case he was one of the better rookie quarterbacks last year. It was really talking about him.
He had a really good, I want to say it was the last 4, 5, 6 game stretch of last season. He really showed like, hey, I deserve a chance to be QB1 going into next season with this team. Couple that with the fact that this past draft's quarterback draft was very weak and next year looks much stronger. It kind of lent himself to say, okay, you know what? We'll give you at least next year as another audition to say, hey, can you be the franchise guy? Now, people will debate back and forth what they need to see from him as far as being the franchise guy. But I think this kid has the tools to become that. He went to Stanford, which means he's smart. He got a D1 scholarship to that type of school, not only because he's a good football player, but also he academically qualified to get in. People were saying, you know, had he stayed in school and kind of, you know, progressed a little bit more, he had a chance of being a first, maybe a second round draft pick. So, and you think of highly touted he was coming into Stanford, couple all of that with the skill set that he does have and possess, I think that this kid could develop into a franchise quarterback. However, we just need to see, can he do certain things and meet certain benchmarks this season to know whether or not he actually qualifies as the quote-unquote guy.
Who do you think has a better chance of breaking out and being fantasy relevant on this board? Nico Collins, year two wide receiver, drafted in the third round last year. I think he's a big, like 6'2", can go up and get it. Kind of excited about him. Or Brevin Jordan, who, you know, missed the first part of the season, but towards the end seemed to be certainly involved in the offense. Who do you think has a better chance of being fantasy relevant this season, Collins or Jordan?
I think it'll be Collins. It could be Jordan, but I'm going to go with Collins because I saw him make some unbelievable catches this preseason, contested catches, as far as going up and getting it over another guy. Whenever you have a 6'4", 215, 220-pound wide receiver that can actually go up and get it, that guy's an invaluable weapon in the red zone. A tight end can do the same thing. However, a wide receiver split out wide, he has more of a chance at a one-on-one as opposed to a tight end who may line up closer into the formation, maybe have a little bit of traffic going on there before he can actually get out wide. But I think that Collins could see some production, you know, uptick in the red zone as far as being a big body target on the outside for Davis Mills.
I'm excited about him. I seem to take him in almost every single draft, and even Jordan, Brevin Jordan, Davis Mills, you know, in best ball, it's a third stack that you can get pretty cheap for these guys is your third tight end, is your third quarterback, super flex leagues, you know, tight end premium leagues. I think both guys should be on your radar, but I agree. I think Collins is, wide receiver 58. I think he surprised some people, and he can be like a flex guy as like a top 40, 45 wide receiver potentially this year. Okay. I like the Texans, but enough of them for a minute. You said you're a Saints guy. That's it. I got to ask you, right? I don't know if there's a quarterback who has had this much of an upgrade at the wide receiver position as Jameis Winston has had, right? You take away, you know, he only played a handful of games last year under Sean Payton, and Payton's not there anymore. But, you know, Marquez Callaway, still on the squad, but come on. Like, at times he was the number one. Now you got Michael Thomas. You bring in Jarvis Landry, veteran wide receiver in the slot. You draft Chris Olave. Looks like Alvin Kamara is going to be there for the entire season. You know, good offensive line. I know they lost some pieces on it. Still really good defense. Jameis is set up to have a lot of success. I think the expectations, look at this, Tyler. We didn't even know we were going to do Saints. He's all over it for us. on this board, I don't know. I'll ask you about Thomas. Any concerns about Michael Thomas? Like, what do you think? What is this guy going to be able to stay on the field this year?
The only concerns I have are, like, he got nicked up with a hamstring injury maybe last week or so. Coming back from foot and ankle injuries, you always have run the risk of hamstring, quads, you know, calves, different things like that that can linger and be, you know, a residual effect of the original injury. If he can get through some of those knick-knack pains and whatnot and play through some of those, or, you know, kind of curtail those some by not practicing as much or as hard during the week, I think that Thomas will be there all season. Look for him to miss maybe 2-3, no more than 4 games. You know, maybe he's not feeling quite right, you know, Thursday, Friday, and they just choose, you know what, let's just sit him. We're playing the Falcons or somebody that, you know, we can beat, or this game is a throwaway game. It doesn't mean much. Or even like one of those games where they're playing on a Thursday night or a Monday night where it's a short week, you know, you may not want to play him in that game, especially if he's feeling nicked up. But I think by coming back and being fully healthy, he has that chip on his shoulder. Couple that with the fact that there'll be weapons around him like Olave, like Landry, Callaway is still there. Kamara looks like he'll be there all season. Mark Ingram is another good pass catching option out of the backfield.
Yeah.
They move Taysom Hill to tight end full time now to kind of help out the depth of that position. You know, Adam Trautman is a decent guy. He's a decent sized guy, but he's not somebody that's going to put in a fear of anybody, you know, running routes from the tight end position. Now Taysom Hill, with his speed and athleticism, he can put fear in guys. So if you think about a lineup with Olave on one side, Michael Thomas on the other side, Landry in the slot, Hill at tight end, and Kamara in the backfield, you have weapons all over that field for Jameis Winston to get the ball to. The main question with that Saints offense is will that offensive line hold up, especially given the fact that Trevor Penning is going to miss some time, and now James Hurst is going to go from backup to being a starting left tackle.
It was one of my favorite win totals, Jermaine, 8.5 for the Saints. I just think that they're much improved on offense. I know this will be different for Saints fans and yourself a little bit, you know, with no Sean Payton, it's a different feel. Winston was pretty efficient last year. I think 14-3 touchdown interception ratio, which is not like the 30-30 season that he had a couple of years before that. But man, I think they're set up to have some success. I think the NFC is completely top heavy, and I do believe that they're a playoff team. I think they can get to 9 wins. I do like that a lot. Do you mind hanging on for one more block? Maybe do one more. I've got to ask you about the Houston Astros. I got to ask you about the Astros and Justin Verlander. So Tyler, we'll take another break here, and we'll be back on Game Plus Network. Keep her locked. Welcome back in. We apologize for some of the technical difficulties. Hopefully we are good to go here now. Chris Meany and the underscore Jermaine with you guys for one more segment. I got to ask you about, of course, the Astros. They do it every single year. They're always here, right? I mean, I remember the talks at the start of the season. Oh, this is it. This is the year for the Angels or the Mariners to kind of maybe overtake that division or get into the playoffs. And the Mariners are doing really good. They're holding down a wild card spot. They're winning some ball games with the Astros, right? It's every year with the Astros. You see the World Series odds, plus 425. Justin Verlander last week was minus 300 to win the Cy Young. I'm seeing now, using our free prop shop, he's minus 175 over at Bet Rivers to win the Cy Young. DK, DraftKings and Caesars and BetMGM hanging some minus 400s. Selfishly, I have a Shane McClanahan Cy Young prop, but he suffered an injury yesterday as well. I was thinking that with Verlander, if he's going to be out for some time, maybe Shane McClanahan can close the gap. And now, I don't know, like a shoulder injury, he could miss some time. It could be the season for him. So your article that you wrote, I guess it was on August 24th. It's hard to ignore the familiar vibes Astros Justin Verlander is giving off right now. Now he's dealing with the calf injury. What's the latest on him? Are we going to see him again for the rest of the regular season? Or like, what do you think here?
Yeah, I believe Dusty Baker came out yesterday and said that he's going to miss maybe a couple of weeks. Looks like it was a strain or something like that. Nothing serious, nothing that'll keep him out for an extended period of time or anything that will prohibit him from starting in the playoffs. However, the good thing is that with them having a 11.5 game lead in their division, and I want to say they're up 4 games over the Yankees as of right now for the best record in the American League, they're in a comfortable spot. Verlander was leading the Cy Young race. It says something about this team's depth at pitching when Framber Valdez sets a record for most consecutive quality starts in a row by a lefty with 22 since they started keeping track of the stat in 1913. And he's not even in the top 3 of the Cy Young Award. He's not even considered the best pitcher on his team. So when you look at things like that, you look at the depth that this team has as far as pitching is concerned. And that's one of the things that I was talking to another good buddy of mine about here. I was like, you know, when this team has such great pitching, especially the starting pitching, the bullpen, questionable. But when the starting pitching is this good, you just need your bullpen to be slightly above average in order to carry things home. Now, if that lineup could ever wake up and all of those guys could consistently hit the way they've historically hit over the course of their careers, look out for the rest of the league, because Bregman hasn't hit where he normally hits. Michael Brantley is out for the season right now. Altuve hasn't been what he's used to being. Yuli Gurriel has taken a couple steps back. However, you have Yordan Alvarez, Kyle Tucker, and guys like that that are stepping up to the plate. Bregman is starting to get hot. Altuve is starting to come back to where he was. You know, Yuli's starting to come back to where he was. And all of these guys are not only getting healthy, but they're also hitting their stride at the most important, crucial time of the year, which is heading to September, going into October for the playoffs.
Yeah, Bregman's been one of the hottest hitters over the past like 5-6 weeks. I know I have him in one of my keeper leagues, and I think he's been a top 10 fantasy baseball player in, you know, the second half of this season. So you're right. Some of those guys that, you know, you're used to seeing them have so much success at the plate, face a little bit of adversity to start the season, and now it's pretty scary to think that, you know, they're going to have some positive regression coming their way here as we push closer to playoff baseball. Yeah, the Astros, let's throw up that board one more time. If there's a team that Houston fans should be worried about, I know the aspirations are high. You'd probably say the Dodgers or the Yankees, but who's a team Like, did the Astros, are the Astros even worried about the Yankees? Like, they just seem to dominate them.
I think that right now, not only does this team have a psychological advantage over the Yankees, but they also have an advantage, again, when it comes to the pitching. Because the Yankees, as good as their lineup is and as great as Aaron Judge, a season as Aaron Judge is having, they've always seemed to be able to neutralize that Yankees' potent lineup when it comes to their pitching. And it's just something about the way the Astros have a mind chokehold on the Yankees, to where the Yankees, they don't know how to play against the Astros. It seems like they lose all their religion when it comes to, you know, the orange and blue. But if there was a team that I would say the Astros would really have to worry about, I would say somebody like the Toronto Blue Jays, perhaps, or maybe even the Tampa Bay Rays or somebody like that, somebody out of the ordinary that you would think that normally this team would do good against. The article I just finished writing is getting ready to go live in SportsMap any moment now. Spoke to how this team tends to get bored towards the end of the season and inexplicably drop games. Like towards the end of July, they dropped a three-game set against the Oakland A's, of all teams, right, the worst team in the American League. You know, and they lost each game by two runs in that series. You know, but they backdoor and they come, like, just before that, they won five straight, two against the Yankees, three against the Mariners. Both teams are in the playoff race. And then you lose three straight to the worst team in the American League. So they tend to, exactly, they tend to have lulls in their season and lose to bad teams. Some of their losses have come to the Orioles, the Rangers, the Angels, the A's, teams like that. However, one thing that I did put in that article, this next 20-game stretch to me is hugely important because they're playing nobody but the Rangers, the Angels. And I think the only team above 500 that they're playing in that stretch could be the Mariners or somebody like that. I think it is the Mariners. So you have a 20-game stretch where you're playing 17 games against teams well below 500. You have one three-game set against a team that's in the playoff race. This is when you can make headway and define your season and extend your lead, not only in your division, but also in the American League over the Yankees.
Yeah, good call. And they have, like you said earlier, they have surpassed the Yankees. And yeah, New York went into Houston, and I could see the frustration on the Yankees, everybody. Like, they had cruised all year. They're finally going through something, like some adversity on the team. I mean, they couldn't keep up that pace that they were at, but the Astros just had their way with them, and you could see the frustrations. And also, yeah, when you wrap up inside the division, which most teams do inside the West, American League West, and facing teams like the Halos and the A's and the Rangers, it's hard to maybe get up for some of those games when you know that you're comfortably in a playoff spot and it's all about maybe staying healthy. But at the same time, you want to hit your stride and, you know, get into the playoffs and like a nice little footing and into a groove. Jermaine, this has been fantastic. I see that the Texans claim Tyler Johnson, so maybe you'll be busy at SportMap writing up Tyler Johnson potentially as a former Bucks wide receiver that really didn't get a lot of play in Tampa over the couple of years that he's been in the NFL, but there's been a lot of pieces in Tampa over those years with Brady, so maybe an opportunity.
Well, for the other thing was when they made their cuts, they only had four wide receivers on the roster. So for them to, you know, look over the scrap heap and pick up guys, maybe sign guys to a practice squad or something like that, or even pick them up and put them on the 53-man roster, that was almost to be expected because most teams have, you know, five, six, sometimes even seven wide receivers on their depth chart, whereas this team only had four. So I'm not surprised at all that they picked up a wide receiver.
Check out the_Jermaine on Twitter. Appreciate this, man. This has been fantastic. Duke Loves Wrestling hooked us up, and hopefully you can jump on again and we can chop it up like mid-season. We'll talk again about your Texans, maybe definitely some betting stuff. Sports Map, all the content, the_Jermaine. And I just saw also the Astros looks like they're going to call up one of the top pitching prospects in Hunter Brown. So the rich get richer in Houston.
Yes.
I appreciate this, man. Have a great Wednesday. And on the way back, we're going to talk some MLB picks. We'll say goodbye, Jermaine, and keep your lives here on Game Plus.
You guys take it easy.
Cheers. Cheers. Welcome back in. Let's turn our attention over to some futures and take a look at the NFC West. So the Los Angeles Rams, these are futures. Use their free prop shop and parlay calculator all the time. Links inside the description of this video. If you're watching on FTN Network, our YouTube page, Game Plus, you can hop on over. We have projections live over at FTNFantasy.com. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of a taste of what Vegas is, you know, projecting for some of these players. So 4,300 passing yards. And I want to give you a bit of a sneak peek of our projections. So we have Matthew Stafford at 4,500 passing yards. We have him for 31 touchdowns. Vegas has the total at 33.5. We have him for 13.5 interceptions. Remember, he went through something last year where he was throwing a pick almost every single game. I think it was three games in a row where he had a pick six. I maybe lean to the over on Stafford in terms of interceptions, but definitely the over on passing yards. I think that's a fair number in touchdowns. I wouldn't touch it. Cam Akers, we have for 1,000 yards on the ground. And right here, you see 849.5 rushing yards. That's over at BetMGM, minus 110 to the over. I like the over there. I know there's some concerns with Cam Akers and Daryl Henderson's on the squad. We have Henderson for 434 rushing yards, but we have Cam Akers for just over 1,000. We also have him for another 227 through the air on 28 grabs. We have him for 10 total touchdowns, 9.1 rushing touchdowns. That hammer the over. I'm a big Cam Akers guy. So I understand there could be some pause for other people coming off the Achilles, but we saw him last year. He wasn't efficient, but man, he got all the work. He got all the touches and he went up against top 10 rush defenses. So he was in a tough spot, but this is a Rams team that's going to blow away some opponents. They're going to live inside the red zone. Cam Akers is going to get some touches. I think he's going to flirt with 1,000 yards. And I think 10 touchdowns is certainly possible. Look at Cooper Kupp. I mean, I wouldn't touch this because it's such a high number, but he had 1,800 yards last year. We have him for 1,473 yards and 10.4 receiving touchdowns. We also have him for 111 grabs. So our projections have him over across the board, minus the touchdowns. This is one of my favorite props to hammer future props. It's Allen Robinson over 6.5 receiving touchdowns. We actually have him for 6.3. 890 receiving yards and 69 receptions. I couldn't find a reception prop for Allen Robinson, but I think he's going to be like an 8 or 9 touchdown guy. Let's move over to San Fran's futures here. Trey Lance, I would have told you last week, man, give me the over 500.5 rushing yards. But now that Jimmy G is signed, his contract is restructured to be the backup quarterback. You know, it's restructured in a way that potentially they could trade him if he approves. But also if Trey Lance struggles as a passer, the first two games are layups. I think they got the Bears and the Seahawks. They should get by even if Trey Lance struggles. But then you get into the division and some tougher opponents. If he struggles, they could change over to Jimmy G. So I would shy away from all of this. I'm a little nervous, to be honest, as of today, August 31st, about Trey Lance finishing the season as the starting quarterback, even though he is opening up as the starting quarterback. You see some of the yards here. I'm not in on any of this. I think Elijah Mitchell is injury risk. Honestly, I read an article in The Athletic that I sourced that I trust. Some concerns about Elijah Mitchell. Go check it out over at The Athletic. I would take the under on his rushing yards. I think there's a player that's going to break out of here. It will be Brandon Ayuk. I would take the under on Deebo Samuel's receiving yards and move on. I don't really like a whole lot. Honestly, I'm somebody who likes to roll the dice a little bit. I could do Trey Lance 500. He had 130 rushing yards and 2 starts last year. I can get behind the 500, but everything else is a big time pass because I have a little bit of a fear with Jimmy G. We can roll through these next two teams pretty quickly. Let's roll through them, Tyler. Arizona, Kyler, 4,000 passing yards. We have him for over that. We do have him for over the rushing yards as well. Now, last year, he took a step back in terms of rushing attempts and rushing yards. It was basically cut in half from what he did in his sophomore season, but he has improved as a passer in each of the 3 years. Last year was a 69% completion rate. We have him for 516 rushing yards, and we have him for 4,200 passing yards and 25 passing touchdowns. James Conner, over 8.5 rushing touchdowns. This is a guy that finished with clearly double digit. I think he had 15 rushing touchdowns. There's no competition to steal his touchdowns, touches, first or second down. There's no competition to steal his goal line work either. I think he's a guy that will finish with double digit touchdowns. And give me the over on everything, Marquise Brown. Absolutely. I think he's a 1,000-yard wide receiver. He had 1,000 yards last year. No Hopkins for the first 6 weeks of the season. 70.5 receptions. I would lean to the over on that. What do we have, Hollywood? We have him for 75 grabs, 920 yards, and 5.5 touchdowns. This guy's scoring 8 or 9 touchdowns this year as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. And I'm sorry, Seahawks fans. We don't have time to get into it. We don't have time. I think you just shy away from every prop Seattle Seahawk. We got some MLB picks and props right out Mean Streets. Keep it locked. A few MLB picks to round out Mean Streets. A friendly reminder, MLB picks and props live at 1:30 Eastern, our FTN Network YouTube page, and at 6 Eastern on Game Plus Network, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Our guy MLB Dream has been absolutely perfect for like 2 weeks. It's actually scary. Okay, so this is my props and my picks here. Yankees team total. This burned me two nights ago. We doubled down yesterday and we got it. So let's try to have a profit here with the Yankees team total at 4.5 runs at -107. That's at Unibet. I think DK's hanging at -110. I got them to score first and win the game. They're facing the Angels today. They have Gerrit Cole on the bump. So they have their ace, a Halos team that's in the bottom five in almost every single category. Highest strikeout rate in all of baseball. We have an 8.5 strikeout prop for Gerrit Cole. That's a little high, but I do expect him to cruise in this game. And they're going up against Patrick Sandoval. He's had some moments. I really like him overall as a pitcher, but he has struggled with command. And when you struggle with command and you walk some guys, you can give a crooked number up pretty easily, especially to this Yankees team inside the top five in every single category that I care about against lefties. I'm talking average, WOBA, WRC+. They're number one in home runs. They're number one in OPS. They are top five in ISO. They have a lot of power. Got Stanton back inside the lineup. They got a lot of guys who just hit lefties very well. So I am taking the over on pretty much everything Yankees. I'll get involved with some props as well. Jose Abreu has got a matchup against Chris Bubich, who checks in with an 81% contact rate, one of the highest marks in all of baseball, and he's walking four batters per nine. So another guy that can walk a few dudes, and we got a White Sox team that hits lefties really, really well. And then you see that's why I have in the parlay. And as for Jose Abreu, against lefties, 303 average, 202 ISO, 394 WOBA, 904 OPS. Those are pretty strong numbers against lefties. And as I mentioned, Bubich is not missing any bats. So that is what I have for today. Make sure you check out MLB Picks and Props if you're looking for more. And check out our FTN Bet Tracker. Thanks to Jermaine. Thanks to you guys for hanging out. Deesh, I will get to that question. I think there's some collusion. I'll get to that in our comment section. Thanks for taking the time to hang out. We'll see you tomorrow. Cheers.